right, so this is part two of the Pastorius tapes, and a little bit more on Zbigniew Brzezinski and the Ukraine crisis and the New World Order. And, hopefully the war has stopped by now. But ultimately, we got to do something about the international banking finance system and create credit unions instead of banks is the solution. And that's why I call it Talk is Cheap, because I try to bring you solutions. So, yeah, this is the second half of the Pastorius tapes. You know, I got a little brush with Jaco Pastorius. I was at Venice Beach one day, and a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, Jaco Pastorius is over there signing autographs and selling CDs." And like an idiot, I didn't believe him. And I look over, and there's this guy on a bench with what looked like a bass sticking out of his backpack. And like an idiot, I didn't go over there. And, a year or so later, this must have been in the late 80s, he had died of bipolar from injuries received in a bar fight because of his, what now we know was bipolar disorder. So going back to From the Wilderness is saying, referring to an area he calls, in other words, Brzezinski, referring to an area Brzezinski calls the Eurasian Balkans, and a 1997 map in which he has circled the exact location of the current conflict, describing it as the central region of pending conflict for world dominance, Brzezinski writes, "Moreover, they, the Central Asian republics, are of importance from the standpoint of security and historical ambitions to at least three of their most immediate and more powerful neighbors, namely Russia, Turkey, and Iran, with China also signaling an increasing political interest in the region. But the Eurasian Balkans are infinitely more important as a potential economic prize. An enormous concentration of natural gas and oil reserves is located in the region, in addition to important minerals, including gold. The world's energy consumption is bound to vastly increase over the next two or three decades. Estimates by the U.S. Department of Energy anticipate that the world demand will rise to more than 50% between 1993 and 2015, with the most significant increase in consumption occurring in the Far East. The momentum of Asia's economic development is already generating massive pressures for the exploration and exploitation of new sources of energy in the Central Asian region, and the Caspian Sea Basin are known to contain reserves of natural gas and oil that dwarf those of Kuwait, the Gulf of Mexico, or the North Sea. Kazakhstan is the shield, and Uzbekistan is the soul for the region's diverse national awakenings. Uzbekistan is, in fact, the prime candidate for regional leadership in Central Asia. Once pipelines to the area have been developed, Turkmenistan's truly vast natural gas reserves augur a prosperous future for the country's people. In fact, an Islamic revival are already abetted from the outside, not only by Iran, but also by Saudi Arabia, is likely to become the mobilizing impulse for the increasingly pervasive new nationalisms determined to oppose any reintegration under Russian and hence infidel control. For Pakistan, the primary interest is to gain geostrategic depth through political influence in Afghanistan and to deny to Iran the exercise of such influence in Afghanistan and Tajikistan and to benefit eventually from any pipeline construction linking Central Asia with the Arabian Sea. Moreover, sensible Russian leaders realize that the demographic explosion underway in the new states means that their failure to sustain economic growth will eventually create an explosive situation along Russia's entire southern frontier. This would explain why Putin would become U.S. military presence to stabilize the region. That's from the Wilderness saying that. This would explain why Putin would welcome U.S. military presence to stabilize the region. Turkmenistan has been actively exploring the construction of a new pipeline through Afghanistan and Pakistan to the Arabian Sea. It follows that America's primary interest is to help ensure that no single power comes to control this geopolitical space and that the global community has an unhindered financial and economic access to it. China's growing economic presence in the region and its political stake in the area's independence are also congruent with America's interests. America is now the only global superpower, and Eurasia is the globe's central arena. Hence, what happens to the distribution of power on the Eurasian continent will be of decisive importance to America's global primacy and to America's historical legacy. The Eurasian Balkans threatens to become a cauldron of ethnic conflict and great power rivalry. Without sustained and direct American involvement, before long, the forces of global disorder could come to dominate the world scene, and the possibility of such a fragmentation is inherent in the geopolitical tensions, not only of today's Eurasia, but of the world more generally. With warning signs on the horizon across Europe and Asia, any successful American policy must focus on Eurasia as a whole and be guided by a geostrategic design that puts a premium on maneuver and manipulation in order to prevent the emergence of a hostile coalition that could eventually seek to challenge America's primacy. The most immediate task is to make certain that no state or combination of states gains the capacity to expel the United States from Eurasia or even to diminish significantly its decisive arbitration role. In the long run, global politics are bound to become increasingly uncongenial to the concentration of hegemonic power in the hands of a single state. Hence, America is not only the first as well as the only truly global superpower, but is also likely to be the very last. Close quote from Zbigniew Brzezinski's The Grand Chessboard. And then they've italicized this from The Grand Chessboard. Moreover, as America becomes an increasingly multicultural society, it may find it more difficult to fashion a consensus on foreign policy issues except in the circumstance of a truly massive and widely perceived direct external threat. Close quote. Okay, so he was talking about 9/11 back then, but, you know, you have the Gulf of Tonkin and all war. The first casualty of war, of course, is truth, because they come up with these reasons to drum up support for war. And they've done it over and over again. And these are facts that you can look up. So, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. Okay, so this is from the Grand Chessboard by Zbigniew Brzezinski. The appeal and impact of the democratic American political system has also been accompanied by the growing attraction of the American entrepreneurial economic model, which stresses global free trade and uninhibited competition. As the Western welfare state, including its German emphasis on co-determination between entrepreneurs and trade unions, begins to lose its economic momentum, more Europeans are voicing the opinion that the more competitive and even ruthless American economic culture has to be emulated if Europe is not to fall further behind. Even in Japan, greater individualism in economic behavior is becoming recognized as a necessary concomitant of economic success. The American emphasis on political democracy and economic development thus combines to convey a simple ideological message that appeals to many. The quest for individual success enhances freedom while generating wealth. The resulting blend of idealism and egoism is a potent combination. Individual self-fulfillment is said to be a God-given right that at the same time can benefit others by setting an example and by generating wealth. It is a doctrine that attracts the energetic, the ambitious, and the highly competitive. As the imitation of American ways gradually pervades the world, it creates a more congenial setting for the exercise of indirect and seemingly consensual American hegemony. And as in the case of the domestic American system, that hegemony involves a complex structure of interlocking institutions and procedures designed to generate consensus and obscure asymmetries in power and influence. American global supremacy is thus buttressed by an elaborate system of alliances and coalitions that literally span the globe. All right, I'm just skipping a paragraph where he describes all these alliances to get to. In addition, one must consider as part of the American system the global web of specialized organizations, especially the international financial institutions. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank can be said to represent global interests, and their constituency may be considered as the world. In reality, however, they are heavily American-dominated, and their origins are traceable to American initiative, particularly the Bretton Woods Conference of 1944. Ukraine, a new and important space on the Eurasian chessboard, is a geopolitical pivot because its very existence as an independent country helps to transform Russia. Without Ukraine, Russia ceases to be a Eurasian empire. Russia without Ukraine can still strive for imperial status, but it would then become a predominantly Asian imperial state, more likely to be drawn into debilitating conflicts with aroused Central Asians, who would then be resentful of the loss of their recent independence and would be supported by their fellow Islamic states to the south. China would also be likely to oppose any restoration of Russian domination over Central Asia, given its increasing interest in the newly independent states there. However, if Moscow regains control over Ukraine with its 52 million people and major resources, as well as its access to the Black Sea, Russia automatically again regains the wherewithal to become a powerful imperial state spanning Europe and Asia. Ukraine's loss of independence would have immediate consequences for Central Europe, transforming Poland into the geopolitical pivot on the eastern frontier of United Europe. All right, so here's the second half of the Pastorius tapes on Jaco Pastorius. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio.
I've been knowing Gil for a long time, and I like his. I've always liked his music, and especially his arranging. I've definitely, you know, I would say been influenced by him as much as any arranger ever in my own writing and arranging.
His legacy is a living one in that sense, and of course all the music that he wrote is still being played today.
they called me to participate in a tribute album for Jaco, and it was being released in Japan, and they said, choose a song that you would like to do. And it's very difficult to cover a song by Jaco because, you know, you don't want to simply play it the same way. What's the point? You know, his records are very clear and very well recorded, so there's no use in just trying to recreate it, and you'll never do it as well. But at the same time, you don't want to change it so much that nobody recognizes what it is, and you take away the beauty of what it is. So it's tricky, but I felt like I could do a good job with Portrait of Tracy. I've been playing that since that Heavy Weather album came out. And I've been playing with my thumb so much that it was pretty much pretty natural for me to play with my thumb. And I was doing a television show with David Sanborn. David Sanborn had a TV show, a TV special, and Eddie Palmieri was his guest. And he's playing a piano, an acoustic electric piano. It was very loud. And we had decided to do Teen Town, and I said, man, I can't hear myself, so I began to play it with my thumb. And we got so many letters, people wrote to the TV station and said, how is he doing that? That's fantastic. So I thought, oh, people like that. I decided to put that on my album that I was working on. So that's how I got to do Teen Town.
Life is not always the positive. Not everything is always, hey, that was great and that was unbelievable. It was. But it became more and more a part where his illness interfered with his and our progress.
Near the end, when we took this incredible big band, this word of mouth band, to Japan, I remember speaking with a couple of the guys, and they were saying, you know, this is such a great band, and Jaco's doing everything he can to sabotage it, and yet it's still, you know, it was still sounding pretty good, but we were really regretting that at that point we couldn't have fun. The focus of every day was wondering, you know, what would Jaco do next? And this wasn't the same Jaco at that point. You know, his problems had really had come out to manifest themselves in a way that it wasn't easy. And in other ways, it was always challenging because he was demanding. I mean, always a lot of fun, but he had very high standards.
And the most I remember about Jaco was his humanity more than his music. I mean, his music was there. You know, unbelievable. But that's not what I remember about him. I was really impressed by his good manners. very good manners. You could tell he had a good upbringing, coming from a nice family.
You know, Jaco really cherished family. You know, he came from a broken family. His parents divorced when he was quite young. But he was like the other guys in Weather Report too, Joanne Wayne. Parents were a real important part of our families, of our lives. And Jaco sent a postcard to my mother when I just joined the band, which was all thanks to him recommending me. It was a postcard written with the felt-tip pen magic markers in all different colors. And it just said, Peter is the cat. And he sent it to my mom, you know, and the letters kind of trailed off. And like, he said, wow. And so I have that in a scrapbook. And so whenever I look at that, it's a really nice memory. I remember his sense of humor, I think, the most.
Mec qui est vrai quoi. Mis à part Jaco Pastorius bassiste, mais humainement c'est à l'intérieur c'est un vrai quoi.
I remember him to be one of the nicest people in the world. Real Christian kind of guy, you know, the good for everybody, too good. And God bless his soul, you know, he was special.
Last time I saw him was before he died, you know, maybe 3 months before he died. He wasn't doing so well. He was in the Village, Greenwich Village area in New York, and he was just kind of hanging around looking kind of homeless, you know, and he invited me to his house, which was very small. It was like the size of this area, you know, but he said, man, I just want to let you know, man, how much I respect you, man. I think you're a fantastic musician. And I was very, very honored that he would say something like that to me, you know? And you could tell that he was saying something that he had wanted to say for a long time, you know? And so I very much value that, you know? And like I said, a few months later, he died. So that was the last time I saw him. That's the last thing I heard from him. So it's very nice, you know?
The song's called Mr. Pastorius. It's on your last album, Mama, right?
I wrote the song, and I wrote it for Miles to play. I wrote it for Jaco, but I was hoping that Miles would play it. And when I brought it to Miles, I didn't know how Miles felt about Jaco, because we never talked really much about him. So he said, Marcus, what's the name of this song? We were already kind of playing it. He said, what's the name of the song? And I said, well, I've got two titles. One is we can call it Mr. Pastorius, or we can call it Rain. Simply Rain, because it started off with the sound of water, you know? And he said, no, I think that would be really nice to do that for Jaco. And I was very, very pleased that Miles, you know, wanted to do a song that was a dedication to Jaco as well. So that's how it happened. We'll be right back. I miss him crashing into my gigs, you know what I mean? Like, I miss him. He used to just show up on my gigs, man, unannounced, and just plug into my amp and turn all the knobs up, man, and just start jamming. You know, he didn't care. He knew, you know, he had free reign with me, so he'd just come in and just go crazy. It was fantastic to hang out with him and talk to him, you know what I mean? And I think that's what I miss the most.
Jaco, il est toujours là. Il est toujours là. Et c'était mon frère, vraiment, quoi. Et merci, Jaco. Si tu m'entends, ton frère te dit merci beaucoup. Et tu me manques, voilà. À nous tous, d'ailleurs.
This is my last question. So, you and I both know that he's listening to us right now. At this very moment, what would you like to tell him?
Well, that's assuming that we both believe in an afterlife thing. Just tell him that I still love him.
A person like that is never gone. Because time is only time as we know it is not really time. I think there's only one time, at one time. And when you speak about someone and you think about someone in the moment now, then that's what it is now. Not that it was almost 20 years ago, but that it is now. And therefore these people will never die. And there's nothing to miss. It's the whole thing. It was fun, you know? And one should never cry that it's over with. One should be happy that it was.
Thank you. So I'll try to play Donna Lee. This is my impression of Donna Lee through Jocko's influence. So I'll try to play Donna Lee. This is my impression of Donna Lee through Jocko's influence.
And now here's a report from our Russian correspondent here at Talk is Cheap on KBW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. In Russia, Ukraine does not invade Russia. Russia invades Ukraine. In Russia, oligarchs don't put money in our banks. In Russia, oligarchs put money in your banks. In Russia, you don't work on sanctions. Sanctions work on you. All right, this goes out to Vlad, the invader. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. There's a scourge threatening the airwaves right now. I'm talking about that earworm wrangler and rhyme criminal, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his coke from Colombia, his product from Pennsylvania. He should be arrested just for rhyming holy with hold me. His music is vapid. His lyrics are trite. Now don't kill Justin Bieber. Cutting his hair will only slow him down. If you want to stop Justin Bieber and others like him, go to kepw.org and become a sustaining member, or just send a couple of dollars. We're all volunteers, so you get more bang for your buck. Go to kepw.org and stop inane music today. Also brought to you by Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Hi, I'm Billy Bob Clinton, the largest dealer of missiles in the world. I've sold more missiles than anybody. I'll eat a bug to sell you a missile. I got a herd of missiles. I'm practically giving them away. They're stacked up here like cordwood. No cash. We have instant credit. We'll take just about any collateral. We'll take oil, minerals, cheap labor, just about anything. This week's special F-15 fighters, only 5 left, so get here fast. Take the Pennsylvania Avenue past Silo 16 till you come to the crater in the road. Turn right and you're at Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Come near closing time wearing a thong and I'll show you a wrinkled missile.